I want to take a few moments this morning to talk about a process that's beginning at Pacific Community Church. A lot of changes have been occurring recently as we have brought on a full-time youth pastor in John. We're going to miss you on your sabbatical. Wow. Okay. And also in the works is us pursuing another children's pastor. In the interim, Taya Ventola stepped into the gap, and so we've been assigning her hours to oversee the present ministry, along with Melissa Friesen, and we thank them for all their effort. And that will give us a little bit of space of time to sort of figure out who we're looking for and then to establish a process. Now, we're hoping that somebody will help us out with the administration, so we'll be posting a part-time temporary job to help Taya out in terms of the administration. But I want to talk mostly about a mission and vision process at Pacific Community Church. A holy conversation is the way we would like to understand it. Some of you might say, well, why do we need to do this? Well, here's why. If we go to the next slide. Every church or every organization gets born just like a child and travels a course in life that usually ends up in, you know, death. I mean, that's the sad news. An organization, however, is different than most human beings. It can keep on going and going. We have a real sense that Pacific has moved in its 20 years to a place of strength and stability. And we see ourselves at the early back end of stability. And it's time for us to think about what God is calling us into in the future. In fact, if you look at that little diagram, you'll see that when you're at the back end of stability, what's really key is that you go back to the formative days or to the formative time where you start asking the question, God, what is it that you want us to do? And then you put yourself back into a new edge, a new season of discernment and a new season of setting new goals. And a healthy community does this constantly, always going back, asking what God might have for us and what he desires for us to do. And so we really sense, as a board and as a staff team, that it's time to do this. It's a great time. In fact, in the next slide, it's really how I would express it this way. It's the glass half full approach. This is not because we're concerned about where we're at. In fact, we really believe God is calling us into something. Something more. Most mission and vision processes, if you've been around them at any point, usually perhaps does it with a glass half empty. Oh, woe is us. Boy, we're not really shaking and moving. Maybe we should have an exciting vision process, and maybe that will change everything. That's not what we're doing. We're saying God is doing something here. Let's understand what he's doing so that we may even more so move in the direction that he is calling us. And so we've designed a little bit of a process. And in this next slide, it sort of describes it. We're going to be moving ahead, and we're having a season where first we're going to do some study and a little bit of scribing. We have designed or called forth a team to sit and just say, what is God up to? And their job is to really pull some material together to introduce to us so that we can then scribe and study together. And then eventually, and within a few months, we begin to discern what are some of the actions that God might be calling us into. Now, this team, let me introduce to you some of the team members. They may not all be here this morning, but first of all, the team includes Brian and Glenn Forrester, chairman of the board, Sarah Wright, Alden Hagerty, and Jim Huving, myself, and Ren Giesbrecht. And so it's this team that are going to do sort of the hard work front end. And our goal is to plan and facilitate this holy conversation for the sake of us all, because all of you we want to invite into this conversation. And this team will, after a little bit of time, we've already had two meetings, will provide a starting draft for us to talk about what is the mission, vision, and what are potentially some of the actions. And the team will act as that editing team, bringing all the thoughts and considerations together into some workable format. We're going to be an extroverted team, not an introverted team. We're not going to hide behind the walls of this community. We're going to, in fact, hopefully be very much in your midst, asking questions, drawing you into the conversation, because our belief is the Spirit of God is at work through all of us, and we need to be in a discerning process together. Here's our goal. The goal is to clarify our mission and vision so that we know what we are doing. Now, the mission, next slide, clarifies what we are all about. It says the big thing. It connects us to the church throughout history. It reminds us what we're all about. Vision describes what that can look like in 2 to 3 years from now. So the mission is the big deal. The vision clarifies that picture for us in the next 3 to 4 years. And actions specify the things we will do to live out that vision. And so we see these three things in tandem. Now, some very basics here. One, our goal in the next 3 months is to nail down the mission statement, hopefully at 100%. So we're going to spend a lot of effort crafting and working with you to craft a mission statement. And then we hopefully, by the end of these 3 to 4 months, end up with a vision statement at maybe around 60% finish and actions at about 30%. We don't think we're going to get the whole job done before the summer, but we think we can get well started. And so, because we see this as an ongoing process, but we need to clarify our mission. This is a holy conversation that includes the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's not just us on our own. It's a Spirit-led conversation. And we believe that when we make decisions about what we are to do, it needs to be guided by the Spirit who leads us into mission. And we believe that when we have this holy conversation, it will be transformative. It can change us. And I think that's really an important point to make, is that this is a conversation we want to have with God. It's a prayerful one that will demand that we do some serious work understanding what God's mission is. And we've been spending time through the last months just asking, God, what is your mission? What does it mean for us? This is not a democratic consensus or process. We're not going to vote on something that we all like to do. But it will demand a courageous response to God's mission for us here in Cloverdale, British Columbia, Canada. What does it mean to be God's people here? And so quickly, here's how the months lay out. In March and April, the team will do a pre-study and design a congregational process. We're in the midst of that, and we're going to be telling you more about it. We're going to be big on study and less on scribing, but we're going to sort of get something together so that all of us can get in on the conversation. In April and May, the congregation will become part of the conversation, and we'll be big on scribing and less on study, but the two will yet be combined. And then in June, we will be pulling things together, and ultimately we'll be handing our finished work to the board for them to consider. They will be part of the conversation too, but at that point, the team that has been started by the board will end their job by giving it back to the board. And if it's all good and we are all agreed together, then we begin to act, particularly in terms of God's mission. Here's how I'll end with this passage from Philippians 2, verses 1 through 4. Growing to really appreciate this chapter that Paul wrote. It's what I would say, it's It's one of the most profound passages that help us understand what it means to be followers of Christ and living in community. And so this encourages me in terms of this process. It goes like this: Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, then we certainly have been encouraged through the preaching and through worship, that being united with Christ is a great thing. If any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, if we have experienced these things, Paul then invites us, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. That's what we're up to. Being like-minded, sharing the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. And so Paul finishes, and this is a good warning for us as we engage this process together. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain deceit. This will not be a process of shopping and pulling the things off the shelves that you want, but it's rather, says Paul, in humility value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. So this is a process where God can shape and direct us in such a way that we will have one mind, sharing one spirit and one love, being like-minded together in the ministry that God has called us into. I really hope you'll jump in. I hope even now from this day forward, as we move through the process, you'll pray for the team, pray for the process, and even ask the Spirit to reveal insights to you. Have conversations over dinner at Tim Hortons. And keep on asking God to show us the way. Let's pray. Father in heaven, you are a God of light. You have revealed your goodness to us. We have been encouraged by your presence with us. We have been comforted by your love. We have been seeing signs of your Spirit moving throughout our body. We've been witnessing how people have come to faith and are journeying closer into you, and how you are working in and through them. We have been experiencing new tenderness and new compassion in a variety of ways. And Lord, we desire to live in you fully, for you to fill us with all of who you are. We want our joy complete. We want to live in the fullness of your goodness. And so, Father, we pray that you will bless us as a community as we together listen to you, to begin to have significant conversations with one another in such a way that we may become courageous to do the mission that you call us to do. So open up our eyes, open up our hearts, so that we may see and also receive your Spirit. Help us to be like-minded. Help us to share in the same love. Help us to be one in spirit. Help us to be of one mind for your sake and for the sake of the world that you have called us to live in. And so, Lord, we just pray that you will bless this process. We pray that you will help us to recognize our own ambitions, our own opinions about what's best. Help us to see needs in others. Help us to be people who recognize the Spirit working and speaking through others, and help us to engage humbly so that what percolates to the top as we do our work together is your mission, your vision, and your actions in this world. Lord, as Brian comes up and opens up the word for us this morning, will you anoint him? Will you bless him with words that continue to call us forth, that breaks open up our imagination about what it is that you're calling us into in this world. Give us open and receptive hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.